Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
It's time to be completely honest with ourselves. Ask yourself, are you completely satisfied at middle age with where you are today, your health and vitality, your relationships with your spouse, life or life partner, family, workplace, and friendships, your career, the tasks you perform day in and day out to earn a living, including your prospects for the future, and your financial standing, both your possessions and lifestyle today and your prospects for retirement? Are you living joyfully out loud each day and enjoying every minute of it? Well, if you answered yes, you are among the truly blessed, or perhaps you're just fooling yourself. Do you think caring for your health, reversing aging, and living up to 100% of your potential should be easier? Well, our next guest, Julie Renee Daring, says she's uncovered the secret to a 100% healthy, long, prosperous, and joy-filled life, and she says she wants you to be skeptical, but her successful students include a UN ambassador, a NASA astronaut, Pentagon officials, actors and actresses, even members of the liturgical community. And Julie Renee, as she is known far and wide as the 100% healthy life expert. She's a motivational speaker, a master health activator for individuals, a consultant to corporations on bringing better health to their employees and more energy. And she's author of numerous books and home study programs. Her latest two books, Your Divine Human Blueprint and the 100% You Formula. And she's another in our remarkable line of guests who have survived extreme difficulties and gone on to greatness. She suffered radiation poisoning as a child, believe it or not, from atomic bomb testing in the Nevada desert, 17 surgeries, terminal cancer diagnosis, year in a wheelchair, and by the way, she died twice and came back to life. And we're glad you did, Julie Renee, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, what is the biggest game changer that humankind has experienced in centuries, and how is it different from methods that most of us are acquainted with, like tapping for success is a common thing people talk about nowadays?
You know, what I'm really teaching you how to do is access the design that you were originally designed with. So it's actually just remembering our blueprint, the way that we were created, and then how to transform reality. So in my book, Your Divine Human Blueprint, I teach you how to actually remove problematic DNA. It was so exciting yesterday. I just received a call from a lady in Scotland who all of the women in her family had died of breast cancer, and she had the marker. She was in her 40s, and it looked like imminent death for her, and I had removed that DNA marker for her. She just got her medical reports back. Her name is Kate, and the marker is gone. She no longer has the breast cancer marker in her DNA. In other words, this technique of using quantum energy, and whether it's addressing DNA or addressing the stem cells, really radically and simply, completely transforms your reality.
But you say that each of us then has a divine human blueprint, but what do most of us don't really know that, or we don't really understand what it is?
I wish I knew
what my blueprint
was. You know, we were all created with a beautiful, complex, and simple blueprint. And the thing is, we don't have to know how everything runs because we're not technicians or engineers or scientists, but we do know how, if we just look a little bit into accessing the quantum field, we can regenerate anything, we can restore anything, really by learning some very, very simple techniques. And really not just thinking about healing it, but really bringing it to 100%, bringing it to its perfected state.
Well, what is this quantum energy, and how can you and I access this quantum field in order to supercharge all aspects of our health and vitality. It's a fascinating concept, but I don't really understand it that much.
Yeah. You know, you're like everybody. I think we're all kind of like, what in the world is this? We've got physics. We've got two kinds of physics. We've got quantum physics.
Yeah.
And we've got the relativity. So, in other words, if an apple drops from the tree, which is what most of us understand,
yeah.
That's the physics of relativity. And quantum means no time, no space.
Nice.
Equally valid because they bring in different aspects of how the world works. But in quantum, we're surrounded by this field of quantum energy. It's part of our blueprint. And it's the part of the blueprint that allows us to restore, correct, and transform ourselves.
Is that, is that outside us, or is that inside us, or can it be
part
both
of
outside
us, yeah.
and in?
Both outside and in. I think the simplest way to access it is to get yourself into a really blissful, high energetic state, so whether it's laughter or love or spiritual divine connection, where you're vibrating at a pretty high vibration, this is where you can create miracles. This is where you can transform your reality. I think about sitting in a sea of pleasure, and then that pleasure becomes the vibration of my body.
Oh,
and that's a really good way to get into the quantum field.
So you're effectively accessing all the combined knowledge and good feelings from centuries of humankind. Is that what you're trying to do? I know that's a simplification,
Well, you have a piece of it, yes.
Yeah.
So if I could just say the human blueprint is the parts of it that are physical and really relate to the experience of being in a physical body. If you think of it as PEMER perception, which is all the mental things that inform all the thought forms that inform our body, how we respond to things. Essence, which is our spirit, soul, life force. Matter, which is physical, energy, which is like the chakras and the aura and things like that. And then we have the fields or realms. And we have the realm of genesis, which allows us to create out of nothing, the realm of embodiment, the realm of quantum, and the realm of amplification. Quantum is our magic bullet. It's really the thing that we were given that supports us in bringing ourselves, restoring ourselves, bringing ourselves back to a real space.
I think it's fascinating to me in your book. You say that basically you and I as intelligent adults actually can alter our DNA, our spiritual DNA, I guess that is, and regenerate stem cells for better health and well-being. That's really an interesting discovery, to say the least.
Yeah. As the example I gave just yesterday, literally happened yesterday, getting a call saying that medically documented the DNA is no longer there for breast cancer. So
yeah,
it's not just the spiritual DNA. We're actually affecting the physical DNA.
Well, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful way that people can cure themselves of illness. And I guess you must have accessed that maybe without knowing it years ago when you were able to cure yourself of the cancer that you had.
Well, you know, thank you for bringing that up. And I'd say that 7 years ago, I went into my garden in prayer and meditation and really said, God, I can't handle any more of this. Take me or make me well. You promised me the Garden of Eden, and I'm living in hell. And literally that day in prayer and meditation and really getting my energy into celebration, celebrating life and God and that connection, I started getting the downloads. I started seeing cells regenerating in my body. And as I watched the master cell regenerate from a very, very sick stem cell to a very perfected state, it kind of burst, and it was this pulsing blue orb. And I burst into tears because I knew that I was looking at the face of God, and that every cell in our body has a God state, and that we live in this less than state, but we can actually, with the quantum field, bring ourselves up to that God state.
Well, tell us about your two books. That sounds exactly like the type of book that somebody that's frustrated at middle age and is not living in their God state, is not living up to their potential, would want to get a hold of.
The
100% formula is like
a
handy reference book to get started, and the Divine Human Blueprint is a more exhaustive manual or guidebook, or how does that work?
You know, the 100% You formula is the easy read. It's 170 pages. You can get right into it. You can read it in a night. It's got some videos attached to it that teach you how to access your quantum field, and I've had rave reviews. People love this book. It speaks to the heart and soul of the matter. You're going to get tingles when you're reading the book. It's going to feel so true to you. The big book, Your Divine Human Blueprint, is meant to give you full access. So all the information that I've been teaching physicists, doctors, biblical scholars who've been studying with me for 5 years, this is their training manual. This is everything you need to know to regenerate your body in every way. I've covered all the systems, everything that's going on in the human blueprint and how to repair it, how to bring it back to
100%. And you also cover helping others do the same, as well as helping yourself in that book, I believe.
Yes, I do. And, you know, for people who are just at the very beginning of things, I'd recommend you go to my website, julierenee.com, and click on the upper right-hand corner. You'll see there's a 100% You assessment. And that's a great way to get started. Even before the book, you can just take this assessment and find out how healthy you really are.
Oh, I'll have to do that. I didn't even notice that in your website. That website, by the way, is julierenee.com.
It is. Thank you.
Yeah, and you also offer, I notice on that website, some home study programs and a number of those. And I know you're also a master health activator, and you offer one-on-one counseling, even a day at your house or something for intensive study. How does someone find out about those type of programs if they really want to get into it?
The trick to do to working with me, I do a 3-month mentoring program where I do 4 hours and I regenerate your brain to 100%, clear your nervous system, and really get you back in your authority. And that's the VIP program, and it's on julierenee.com under energy healing.
Okay.
And you start with a discovery session application, and we just see if it fits for you.
Yeah. Well, you start by going to her website, obviously, and I definitely recommend previewing those books. I know I went on Amazon and read parts of them, and they're certainly fascinating, and I can't say I understand or agree with everything in those books. That doesn't mean they're wrong. It's just they're new to me, but they're certainly worth exploring. I found a very interesting concept I'd never heard of, like when a spirit actually enters into the fetus in a woman's uterus, and the one that was really interested me is when a person dies, sometimes their spirits hang around to complete uncompleted business. And you talked about a fellow that died and decided he didn't want to go right up to heaven quite yet, so he went to Las Vegas for a while.
It's true.
Unfortunately, he probably couldn't get a hold of any chips.
Oh, there's a whole lot of people in Las Vegas who just, you know, wanted to keep having fun.
That's no place. That's not a place I'd want to linger when I get ready to go. But there are different strokes for different folks. As Julie Renee says, she welcomes skeptics, and it's definitely worth exploring her website and her books, and certainly a very worthy, a most worthy objective, your very own magic button for living a long, bountiful, and 100% healthy and well-being life. And that's certainly our goal here on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. And thank you so much, Julie Renee, for joining us today, and best of success in your new books and all your ventures.
My pleasure, Rob. Thank you so much, and blessings to all of you.
And thank you for tuning in, listeners, and don't forget to tune into my newly designed website, www.middleagerenewal.com. I don't have all those spiritual blessings for you, but it's a good practical guideline of waking up to life at middle age. And join us again next week, and thank you, Julie, for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Well, although our program goal is a joyful and carefree second half of life, it's inevitable that at some point you and I will suffer loss of a loved one. If they are still alive today, obviously our parents are growing older and older. And as we age, some of us will lose a spouse or life partner. In fact, our next guest lost her beloved husband in 1992 when he was only 32. And there's the almost unimaginable chance that we will lose a child. And as I have mentioned before on this program, my wife Gloria and I lost our daughter Kristen at age 30 when she crashed her plane. And our guest, Rachel Blythe Codanis, is here to talk about living with loss one day at a time, and that's really the only way to recover from the loss of a loved one. And by the way, that's the title of her new book. And Rachel is a motivational speaker. She's a grief consultant that specializes in advising employers on assisting their employees coping with a loss, and I think that's a wonderful cause. She's a grief consultant and facilitator, columnist for Living with Loss magazine, and she's published frequent articles on grief and recovery, and she's appeared on numerous radio and TV shows, including Good Morning America, and we're honored to have her with us today. And hello, Rachel, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Thank you for that introduction, and thank you for having me on today. I truly appreciate it.
Well, let's begin. Can you please describe the personal tragedy of losing your 32-year-old husband when you had a 2-year-old daughter and a management job that took a lot of your time, and that must have been a horrible experience. But how were you able to recover from that personal tragedy to move forward positively into what you're doing now, counseling others that are grieving?
So my journey started, and quickly from my background, as you had mentioned, that I was in corporate America. By profession, I'm information technology, Fortune 100 companies, and telecommunications. So obviously that's quite different than from what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
But in 1992, when my husband passed away, it was he just said goodbye to me that morning, and it was arrhythmia. He was an athlete, and it was over when his time was up. And
wow.
As you can imagine, it put me in a whirlspin of what am I going to do and what does my life look like?
Yeah.
And the hardest part is those first couple of years, the emotions take over the logic.
Yeah.
So while here I am 20 years later, I can see the light. Back then I couldn't. And really how I survived it was I trained for the Hawaiian Ironman in his honor and accomplished that.
Oh.
So as people tell me, I beat my body. And just to work through some of my emotional piece of the situation, it's only a journey that you can handle, and you losing a child know that firsthand.
Yeah.
That only you can walk the journey.
Yeah, and that's why so often people that try to give advice, like saying you've really got to shape up now or it's time to move on and that kind of thing, is really off base because everyone has to do it pretty much at their own pace. And I mean, not to seek advice from others, but
people do that. I think people do provide that, or what you should and shouldn't do. That's my quote, is what you should and shouldn't do. I think people do that because they want to see you happy again and they want to fix you. And what my message to the survivors and the people around the survivor is that, as you just said, they have to do it on their own journey, but really there's nothing to fix. It's just they've got to put this into their place, and as soon as they can redefine what happened to them, then they will be on a journey of recovery. But until that, and you have to stay in your grief. You want to be with your loved one for as long as you can.
Yeah. You say that there are ways to turn sadness into something uplifting by learning to take care of yourself. Can you share a few ways that grief can actually be good for you, or how you can make that conversion so that there is positive coming out of it?
That's actually a good analogy, a good thought pattern is, you know, people that are recently bereaved, whether they've lost someone or even though they've had a diagnosis and lost some type of their health is going to change.
Yeah.
Is you go into a grief mode right away because of that loss.
Yeah.
But there are gifts of grief and gifts that are associated with loss. And usually it comes out to be your outlook on life has changed and you value life. And the second one is the relationship that you build with some of the people around you. I know people are quick to say that their loved ones moved, their surviving loved ones had provided some distance, but it's really because they don't know what to do. But just like what I'm doing right now, the fact that I am moving to help other people, providing clarity on a subject that's often overlooked, that's a gift of losing my husband. That's a gift of what I've learned about myself.
Yeah, I think it's so important if, say, you're a surviving spouse and moving forward to help your children and help other people to get over their grief really helps you as well to get over or cope with your own sadness. If you put, like you had a 2-year-old daughter, obviously, that you had to comfort and counsel, and that must have helped in dealing with your own grief, I would assume.
I do believe that, and when I spend a lot of time with, I work with Camp Widow, and that's a program that we have three times a year, and I meet with a lot of widows that are younger, and I say that, you know, I really do believe that my daughter gave me some strength to, I had no choice because I was a parent, but the gift that I received from her is that when mommy said no, there was no daddy to run to, and we are so incredibly tight. I mean, we have the best relationship. I'm married now, and my husband says that they forgot to cut our umbilical cord, and I really do believe that, and I think it's because of this loss that we have a respect for each other that is incredible.
Yeah, that's wonderful, and instead of just continue to lament the fact that you lost the husband or wife, you can look at that possibility that you can build this remarkably close relationship with your children, and by doing that, was, as you just said, by giving them special attention and growing together through the grief. But well, thankfully, most of us will not suffer from death of a family member or a loved one this year, but a lot of us will have the experience of a close friend or an extended family member or a worker on the job who will suffer loss. And what are some of the things we should say and do, and a few things we definitely should not say and do as we attempt to comfort others at their time of loss?
Well, I would say the number one thing that you need to do is listen, but not just listen, you need to hear. You need to hear what they're saying. Don't assume that you, when you're listening, that you think you hear what they're saying, but you really need to hear what they're saying. And another one is that while you need to provide support and love and care, it's really the griever doesn't want the hovering.
Yeah.
They want the attention and the love, but when you hover over them, and I used to say, stop staring at me, was that you provide a uncomfortable situation. And a couple other ones is when somebody says no to you, that they, you know, like you ask them to go do something, they say no, keep asking. Don't push, but keep asking. Don't give up on them. And as far as what not to say, is that if I lose my mom and you lose your mom, our reaction is different. So saying that you know exactly how they feel, you don't know exactly how they feel.
I love that chapter where you talked about things that you should are good to hear and things that aren't good to hear. And I like the ones like somebody that just lost a child. Well, you're young and you can have more children. And that doesn't really help the grieving for the one that's gone.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't at all. And so what I just try to really is, what would you want to hear? I wrote an article that's actually launched my whole writing on the subject was Don't Ask, Just Do, years and years ago. Because if you're going to ask me what I need, I'm already going to do it.
Yeah.
So you need, as a friend of a griever, you need to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your book, Living with a Loss, One Day at a Time. I think that's a fascinating book because it's down-to-earth, common-sense approach rather than, a bunch of spiritual things that may or may not help. It's kind of a practical guide to dealing with grief. And tell us a little about that and the format you have and what you have in that book.
So I had a book in me. I've been providing, facilitating grief groups and, as I said, Camp Widow, and presenting nationally on the subject of grief and loss, and whether it was a caregiver perspective, it was, funeral, whatever. I've just been all over speaking, and people ask me a lot of questions, and I get a lot of emails and a lot of data. So over the years, I have been just making notes of what I've heard from people, and I had a book in me. But I didn't know what the format would want, what I wanted it to be. And while I wanted to write something that was helpful, I really wanted to write Pay It Forward to the next group of people. And my story is just a story. While it's tragic, Roy, you have a tragic story. Most of your listeners have some tragic story.
Yes.
So I decided that wasn't the format that I was going to do it. And what I really thought would be best is a little encouragement every single day, just a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I wrote it in a daily, just daily aspects of lessons and thoughts of grief. And some days, as you saw it, some days I'm very nice to the reader and I say, today's the day, just grab a cup of tea, hot cup of tea, and sit on the couch.
Why
and
is
other
your
days,
comfort food? I know one day.
Yes. And then other days, I just talk about, like, one meal a day should be with others. That means you need to figure out how to have a meal with somebody.
Yeah.
Or where have all my friends gone? or, you know, capture the stories or waves of grief and don't ignore your grief. Every day is something different, and it's truly designed. It doesn't matter if you have a recent loss or the loss has been 10 years from now. You don't have to start in January because there's no dates. You can start in the middle. You could read 7 days in a row, or you can, whatever, however you want to use the guide, you can use it. And what I've learned through my the emails that I've received regarding the book is that people are using it as a form of a journal, because as you saw on each page, there's a little bit area to write. So they're writing their own notes of that day, and those I'm getting wonderful feedback on that.
Yeah, that's a wonderful aspect, to have a place to write your own thoughts in the book and refer back to them. Well, where's the best place somebody can go to preview your book or to purchase your book?
Well, you can purchase it on all online, whether it's Amazon, whether it's Barnes & Noble, whether it's a one of your community, you know, like a smaller independent store in your in your in your particular community. It's also available on my website, which is RachelKodanaz.com. It's RachelKodanaz.com. If they're purchased on my website, I offer that I will sign it, you know, and write a note to whoever.
Also, I went to a website for the Living with Loss magazine, www.livingwithloss.com, and they offer your signed book on that through that website as well.
Right.
And I noticed you also wrote a handbook, which I think was is great, Grief in the Workplace Management Handbook, and that's if you're an employer, a small business owner, and you have an employee that suffers a loss, I think that's a great guideline tool of how I know you talk in, at length in, on your website of how some companies give ridiculous like 3 days for people to grieve of grief leave or whatever you want to call it, and how difficult it is dealing with that.
Right. My, I do have a specialty in the workplace because I come from management and because I come from corporate, you know, the corporate environment. I feel that, you know, I have an ability to go in and really share with them what it really, what that first year looks like of somebody's grieving, or if they've lost an employee, of what will happen to that work group. And I do have, like I said, the expertise, but I also have the management side of what it takes for managers and human resources to deal with a situation. That is one of my, it's one of my passions in the whole loss, because if you're a caregiver for a family member, it is important you need to be with that family member, but you also have to work your job. And I try to help the companies with the challenges that come about it, but how you build compromise.
And somebody should, how best did they contact you, through your website, or is that the best way?
Through my website, which is, as I said, RachelKodanaz.com, or Rachel at RachelKodanaz.com, but you can get to that through my website. And I am available as I travel all over, as I shared, you know, doing presentations and sharing not just this book, but also, you know, consulting to companies and other groups.
Well, I think you're performing a wonderful service, and I trust that none of you out there will need to have immediate need for Rachel's book anytime soon, but perhaps you have loved ones who would benefit from it, or at some point in time, we all will face dealing with loss, so it's an excellent book to have around, and that, once again, that's Living with Loss One Day at a Time by Rachel Blythe Kodanaz. And you can go to her website, or you can get that through Amazon.com as well. And thank you so much for joining us today. And for anyone dealing with traumatic loss of a loved one, I would also recommend a blog I wrote called When Tragedy Strikes, Midlife Recovery and Growth Following Loss of a Loved One. And you can find this on the blog tab of my website, www.middleagerenewal.com. And obviously it's free, so I would suggest you, if you're dealing with a loss situation, you look at that as well. And thank you so much, Rachel, for joining us today, and best of success for your book, Living with Loss One Day at a Time.
Thank you, Roy, and thank you to your audience.
And tune in again next week when we'll talk about some more positive aspects of middle age, and hopefully you will not have to deal with grief anytime soon. Thanks for joining us. Ours is not a program about religion, but in closing our series of programs on springing forward physically, emotionally, and mentally into spring, I'd like to relate a story from the Bible. The book of Acts tells the story of a crippled man who was crippled from birth, who every day begged for coins outside a temple in Jerusalem. He had never been able to walk, so his expectations were modest. On a good day, he received a few silver coins. On a great day, gold coins. It so happened that one day the apostles Peter and John were going into the temple for afternoon prayer. The man asked them for money, and Peter replied, "Look at us. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you." And taking the man by the hand, Peter helped him to his feet, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, and the Bible reports that he jumped to his feet and went into the temple courts, walking and jumping full of joy. Now, it's not my intent to take a position on the art of faith healing, although on recent programs we have had guests with remarkable recoveries. If you haven't already caught it, listen again to my March 17th interview with Brad Willis, now known as Baba Ram, who at age 50 was disabled from a back injury and diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer, and he's now fully healthy. Or listen to my April 7th interview with Jeanette Hillis Jaffe, who suffered from a debilitating condition for 6 years, which doctors couldn't diagnose and cure. And then finally she took control, and by changing her attitude and working hard at it, she basically healed herself. And of course, earlier today, our first guest, Julie Renee Daring, was exposed as a child to atomic bomb fallout from testing in the Nevada desert, and she survived 17 surgeries, terminal cancer diagnosis, and a year in a wheelchair. So we have had remarkable recoveries based on faith and belief. And remember, you can listen to prior programs on our homepage at any time you wish. And today, Julie Renee, as you know from earlier in the interview or the program today, is healthy, prosperous, and joyful. My point is this: like the crippled man in the Bible story, it is far too easy to reduce our expectations, settle for less, and miss out on the wonderful joy, fulfillment, and feeling of accomplishment in the service to others, which may be just around the corner. It may be ours if we experiment, reach out to God, however you define God, the universal consciousness, ask others for help, and express gratitude for all the things we receive, always having an optimistic and positive attitude toward the future. That has been the consistent message of our inspiring guests over the past several programs as we've talked about springing forward in our lives. And I mentioned it before, but let me once more again describe how I missed out on so much of my joy and positive expectations in my life by sleepwalking through 30 years of adult living. Fresh out of graduate school in the military, I went to work for a large manufacturing company, a job I really disliked. I never really liked it. There was no room for discretion. I was a financial analyst, and it was always done the company way, no real request for ingenuity. You just did the schedules the way that you were told to do them, and had little control over my personal and social life, because at 4:45 on a number of days, the boss would come in without asking if anybody had any plans. He'd just say, "We're working tonight," and there wasn't any choice. You know, too bad if you miss your child's concert or a basketball game or whatever. And all decisions actually were made about 5 levels above, up at what they called the glass house, which was corporate headquarters. So you never really felt like you were contributing much anyway. And I probably should have quit after the first week on the job, certainly after a few months. But instead, I settled into the corporate treadmill and strived mightily to be promoted to the grade where I could lease a company car, which was the big status symbol in that company. And if I'd received a few more promotions early in my career, I might still be working for this company today, probably still miserable, just trying to hang on to retirement and dreading every Monday. The first job, unfortunately, set the scene for the rest of my business career. It was a career full of really settling for less and doing work that I really wasn't what I really wanted to be doing, although I did receive a number of promotions and I worked up in the corporate world until I was finally spit out in a corporate takeover and woke up to the real me back about 10 years ago. And I want much more for you. Whatever your age, it's never too late. Brad Willis, now Baba Ram, was 50. He was a former world war correspondent, but he was 50 when he recovered from that debilitating illness I told you about and started a new life as an inspirational yoga instructor. And I was in my 50s when I first saw the light. And as our guest Julie Renee suggested today, it may be time to step back and uncover your divine human blueprint. That means what you really were placed on this earth to do. And it is possible, as Julie described. As she called it earlier in our program today, the 100% you formula. In my book, I call it waking up to life, to waking up to the true person you were meant to be. So do you suffer from diminished expectations? If you're not fully satisfied with your life today at middle age, or even if you suspect you may be missing out, I suggest you preview my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up. It offers a comprehensive step-by-step game plan, which will lead you to discover and achieve your full potential in your daily life, in your relationships, and in your career, and you'll find the true joy that fulfillment can bring to the second half of your life. And on page 5, we even offer a 30-day emotional diary exercise to help you determine whether or not your life today is really all you want it to be and whether you should start on a intensive campaign to renew your life. So I think it's a very valuable book to have. And you can always preview my book on Amazon.com. It's A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards. You can find it there. And even perhaps a better idea, go to my website, www.middleagerenewal.com. That's all one word, middleagerenewal.com. And you can obtain a free gift, and you can preview my book there. Isn't it great on these beautiful spring days as we emerge from a dormant winter? Wouldn't it be an ideal time for you to emerge yourself from a dormant period in your life? Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you over this program and the last few programs, and tune in next week as we begin a series of programs on sound finances in middle age and getting ready for retirement so that you'll have all the money you need and how you can really enjoy your retirement plus the rest of your working career, and we'll look forward to seeing you then. Until then, remember, always, middle age can be your best age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.